Welcome back to Cocktails and Classics. We've done it once. We've done it twice. Now it is thrice. It's Hubie Halloween. Or as Ben likes to call it, Hubie Hallowthreen.
Woo!
this week, it's just Ben and I, a little dad chat over here. We're back with for the third consecutive year. I feel like we've damned ourselves to this fate, but we're back with Hubie Halloween, a 2020 Adam Sandler Netflix Halloween comedy film. Zach made us watch this for some reason in 2020, and the tradition just is kept on where we have to watch it every year. It currently sits at a 5.2 out of 10 on IMDb. It's directed by Stephen Brill, written by Tim Herlihy and Adam Sandler. It stars Adam Sandler, Kevin James, Julie Bowen, Ray Liotta, Rob Schneider, Steve Buscemi, Maya Rudolph, Tim Meadows, Shaq, Ben Stiller, Noah Schnapps in there. Literally everybody. For this week's cocktail, it's not really a cocktail, but it does fit with the theme of the movie. In the movie, Julie Bowen's characters, Violet Valentine, offers Hubie some Chardonnay in the film. So we're going to have a nice glass of Chardonnay with the film. And it might get you a little loose, and you might start to spill your evil plans like Hubie's mother over the air of your favorite radio channel. Station?
WTCH.
I feel like every time we watch this thing, Ben, I am re-reminded of, just what happens, some of the bad humor. There is definitely a lot of, like, good jokes in it, I feel like. But it is definitely, it's definitely not good.
It's one of those movies that is, like, so if I were with a group of people and I knew we weren't really going to pay attention to a movie, but like if you catch something, you might kind of get a chuckle. This is a great example of that. It's not a movie that one should seek out to just like, you know what sounds good tonight? Hubie Halloween.
It would just be a great Halloween party movie.
Yes. Yes, I think you just, you turn this on and then I feel like it's one of those movies where, like, you'd probably, towards the end of the party, find, like, five or six people legitimately watching it.
Yeah.
But most of the people are, like, walking by and seeing a clip and they might get a little bit of a chortle or they're just going to think it's absolutely dumb and just keep walking.
I don't know. I was definitely cracking up at points, but it is definitely one of those movies where it's very chortle heavy. It's like that was so stupid. I have to somehow cope with that.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put the humor of this movie, is that it's so dumb, it's funny.
Which, like, I mean, I haven't watched, maybe I need to go back and watch some of the old Sandler movies, because maybe they're all like that, but I don't know. This one is just so, and obviously he doesn't have a great record with the Netflix ones, because a lot of the Netflix movies I've heard are pretty bad, but man, it's just like, I feel like they're like, let's swing as many times as we can. Sometimes we'll hit and it'll be a good joke, and then sometimes we'll swing and no one's gonna laugh at this.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it, where like you're watching and there's times where something comes up and I'm just like, that's legitimately funny, like they did a good job with that. And then it gets to like the Rob Schneider and oh my god, Steve Buscemi sitting in the police station, and Rob Schneider's like, huh, I'm peeing now. It's like, really? This whole character is just a bunch of pee jokes? And it's like, you didn't need it.
Welcome
like
to Rob Schneider's career.
The movie, But the like, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, man, this Adam Sandler movie would be funnier if he just decided to stop letting Rob Schneider be a part of it. It's just, it's unnecessary and it's not funny. But then you get to things where, like, the mom's t-shirts, where all of them are hilarious.
You're within farting distance, boner donor.
Kayaking gets me wet.
What's the like her friends got the one that's like it's not gonna lick itself or something?
Yeah, it's just those type of jokes in the movie, they hit really well. I feel like Adam Sandler's just ridiculous acting in terms of how like over the top he acts when he's frightened is funny to me. It's hilarious. I enjoy it. I do. I love in the beginning. When he gets scared and flips over the car, or no, he catches eyes with Violet and flips over the car, and then he's just like pretending to be one of the Halloween like displays. Like, that's good. It's classic Sandler. It's physical. He's just doing something outlandish. Like, I can get behind that. But then it just gets into some of the jokes where it's like, you didn't need to do this.
Yeah, I feel like you loved last year, if I remember correctly. You love the one where he like when he first gets home, and then the thing like scares him as soon as he walks in the door, and he throws his helmet, like knocks the head off of it. Yeah. I feel like I remember you loving that one.
I mean, just some of the ones like it's just I don't know. I enjoyed when he gets like frightened, and then I love what
breaks his window.
No, I think the best one is at the school when he's talking about donating the candy to the homeless shelter and the little kid dressed as a zombie is like, is that where you live? And he's like, oh, no. And then he looks at the kid and he just screams, burn it with fire. Like that's, Jesus. That is, it's to me, that's classic Sandler. It's the Sandler humor that I grew up on and enjoy. But then I feel like it just gets to the point where it's like, how dumbed down can we be in this movie? And it's at that point where I'm like, you lost me.
I don't know if I looked at this at all last year, but Hubie Halloween was nominated for 6 awards.
Are they all Razzies?
It was nominated for Worst Actor at the Razzies in 2021. Worst Screen Combo, Adam Sandler and his grating simpleton voice. And Worst Remake, Ripoff, or Sequel. I would like to see the explanation on that one.
Maybe it's because it's part of the universe where, like, he brings in...
Oh, yeah.
Like, the old lady from... Yeah, and the old lady from Billy Madison, which I think she... Rewatching it this time around, I think she had 2 of the best jokes in the movie. I think the old lady, remember in Billy Madison, they go to the farm and the old like Amish lady is like, if peeing your pants is cool, I'm Miles Davis.
I know that joke, but I have not seen Billy Madison in years.
So that old lady is the same one. So Hubie hands the like Amish looking lady the stack of word searches to give the kids.
Oh,
and she's
yes.
like, "Oh, you're so thoughtful, thank you." And she just turns around and throws them in the garbage. It was just so good. The fact that she's just like, oh, thank you so much. You're so thoughtful. And then because they don't focus on it, you just kind of see it over Violet's shoulder where she just tosses them. And then later on, after Violet threatens to beat up the lady whose cat Hubie rescued, she goes, I'm asexual. But I can't remember what the joke is. She's like, but that's gotten me hot and bothered. Or just something ridiculous.
I think she says something along the lines of, I'm asexual, but that chick's making me horny or something.
Maybe that was it. Yeah. Just ridiculous, but just also just a great... Like, just because it's out of nowhere. Like, it shouldn't be... those parts I enjoyed. Like I said, there's parts of this movie where it's like, man, if you would have just, if someone would have told them less, hey, less is more, I feel like this movie would be thought of a lot more, I guess, well regarded.
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely, I don't know. It's like a family, it's like a family film first and foremost, but, it does push the envelope a little bit with some of the, boner donor jokes, which like maybe our family films back in the day had that sort of stuff. I don't quite remember.
I'm guessing
it's PG-13.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a movie that's meant, like, it's meant to be watched either with a family when they're young enough that they're not going to understand stuff, or you have to wait till they're old enough that it all kind of makes sense.
I was looking, scouring the internet, and I saw this Reddit discussion thread on our movies. I think I figured out the process. This is not this planet on Reddit. He says, I think I figured out the process. Netflix gives Sandler a blank check and a one-word suggestion out of a hat. They give him a year to make a movie, but he forgets about it until the last week. He doesn't panic. Sandler hops on IMDb, picks a few names at random for cameos. He then unlocks his basement and lets out Rob Schneider, Kevin James, and Steve Buscemi. They shoot on location somewhere with balmy weather and cheap labor laws. They crack it out in a few days and then hand it to the editors to salvage what they can. Sandler attempts to wrangle his captive trio back into their cages. Netflix upload it without watching. They know he's good for it and hand him another check. Sandler draws out another suggestion. This one is astronaut and immediately forgets about it. The cycle continues.
This seems so fitting. I just love that they go where there's cheap labor laws. The thing that irks me is that we made a pact that this would be a thing we do every year.
And now it's just us two.
Now it's just the two of us. You know, I feel like I'm a little let down.
It's just us. We're like Hubie and his thermos, you know?
Yeah.
We can't be separated.
Nope.
Jesus.
The
fucking part where Kevin James is like talking about we're gonna get you on to the AUU or whatever. And then like Hubie's like huffing his inhaler and he's like, whew. So fucking stupid.
Yeah, like I said, there's parts of this movie that I feel like are like, man, they did a good job. This hit. And then they do things where I'm like, why did you even include this? Did you just really need to fill the time? So your thought was, we gotta. Like, otherwise, I just don't understand. I don't understand where it was like, I know. We have to do it this way. And like I said, I can't shit on the movie that much because there were times I definitely was laughing out loud at things going on in it. There's parts of the movie that are legitimately funny. I just wish they'd cut out the parts of the movie that weren't funny. It's hard to talk about this movie for another year without it just seeming like it's the same conversation. But
yeah,
I do feel like every year I end up watching this movie, I enjoy it a little bit more than I did before.
And I don't know if I want that, though. Like, it's kind of like Stockholm syndrome in a sense, like where you start to like love your captor and Hubie Halloween is my cat.
You know, that is a very fitting comparison. Yeah, it's like, it's one of those things where the first year watching it, obviously I didn't know what I was in for. So it was.
Yeah, Zach was just like, guys, we have check to watch out this movie.
We have to Hubie watch Halloween. This Sandler movie. It's like, okay, fine, whatever. Not a problem. And it was like, why the fuck did we watch this? Then last year it was like, well, we'll watch it together. So it's, you know, it's at least a bit more enjoyable. Okay. That's fine. That's fine. It's fitting. We can do that. It might. And like, yeah, it was more enjoyable to watch. The movie's not better. It's just more fun to watch with other people that you can laugh at the absurdity of what you're watching. Year, there was not really a sense of like worry or dread that this was coming up, and that terrifies me. Like, there was no like, oh God, we have to watch Hubie Halloween. It was like, all right, well, when are we watching it? My worry is like, it's going to just become less and less of a chore. To the point where I'm just like, yeah, it's just a Halloween tradition. We watch it.
That's what I was about to ask. I was like, did we unknowingly add this into a Halloween movie repertoire? Like, I don't know if we said the first year we were like, yeah, you know, definitely play this every Halloween. Like, are we just put it upon ourselves now at this point? And it's like, yeah, Halloween tradition. Gather around, gather the kids. Grayson got his Grayson first got viewing.
Yeah, he's only 6 months old. Watch a little bit of it before he fell asleep.
Like, God, next Halloween, is Isla gonna be there? It's just gonna be, it's gonna become the family tradition. Well,
and that's like the biggest thing of like some of the movies that we've watched. I feel like especially Christmas movies or Halloween movies, where it's like, okay, like Rocky Horror is one that I would throw into like I would watch this almost every Christmas or every Halloween. Probably the same thing, especially when Grayson's a little bit older and watching movies and that with me, like Hocus Pocus. It's a easy enough
Die Hard.
Well, I mean, that's a given. I didn't need to wait for the podcast for that to become a Christmas tradition. But yeah, I feel like this is one that's just going to be eventually, like next year, it's just going to be like, yeah, okay, well, I'm watching this movie again. And it's just going to be like, it's just going to be one of those things that you do it. So it's not really a big to-do in terms of worrying about it or being worried when you have to do it. It's just, oh, yeah, we're watching it. It's that time of year. You know, when we put it in the chat and Zach was like, oh man, is it that time of year again? Yeah, that's it. That's pretty much the feeling now. Hey, heads up. It's that time of year again. It's time to watch Hubie.
Back to this earlier thought of, I don't think I ever looked at this. Hubie Halloween was nominated for 2 Kid Choice Awards. Favorite movie actor and favorite movie. And then this has got to be a meme. The Bruin Film Society at UCLA nominated it for Best Picture.
That has to be. You know for a fact those were kids that were just like, you know, it would be super fucking hilarious.
How could we destroy the system? It would be
super fucking hilarious. What if we nominate and make sure Hubie Halloween is up for Best Movie? Yeah, you know, that was some... That, let's be honest, it would be like us in college. We would have had that idea.
Yeah.
We would have had the idea, and then we would have started talking to anyone that we knew about it. And then at some point, we would have made up flyers and put flyers up.
Have you seen this man?
We called...
Hubie Dubois.
We called our friend Brock Steve just to piss him off. To the point where he was like, stop calling me Steve. And we knew it made him so mad that we made a Steve Twitter account a Steve Facebook page, and then we took a picture that he had posted of him with a shitty mustache, put it on a flyer, and just put, "Call me Steve," and we hung them all over campus. And I thought, no one's going to take this. Totally, no one's going to take that. This seriously. The next year, we're talking to someone, and we brought up the whole Steve thing, and this person goes, "Okay, the first time she found out who Brock was during this orientation event." She's like, "Yeah, he introduced himself as Brock." And I'm like, "That's not Brock. That dude's name is definitely Steve." And it was at that point that I realized it actually worked. So yeah, I feel like let's be honest, if we were in college and there was a thing where Eastern let you nominate movies to like win an award, we would 100% have watched this and then gone, "We have to nominate it. We have to make sure it wins." And we would have gotten as many people as possible to vote for this movie until it won.
God, I feel now I'm just picturing it all. Like, we could have made like an Oscars, like, "For Your Consideration," like, QB Halloween trailer. Oh my God, it would have been amazing. Like, just put in serious effort into the meme. And that's the thing, is when you're in college and you have so much free time, like, you can really just go head over heels and like devote time and effort into a meme.
Oh yeah.
To really just like sell it.
Yeah, you can put the work in to just be like, "You know what? This is really dumb, but people will enjoy it. So let's just, you know, if we're going to do it, let's do it 100%. And
yeah, it's like this podcast. Like, it's just all dedication to one big meme.
And the dedication lasted about 2 years.
Yeah.
We're still here. We're still here.
Still alive, but I'm barely breathing. Just watched UB Halloween that I don't believe in.
I want to apologize to the people who are listening to this, because I do know that, you know, we've been, as life events happen and we get older and have more responsibilities, finding times to watch the movies and record and everything. So I do feel bad that it's like, "Oh, it's been 2 weeks since we put out an episode. Here's a 20-minute UB Halloween breakdown of why we fucking hate this movie still."
Next year.
Just like, oh, they released a new episode. And then it's like, "Oh, it's 20 minutes. Oh, fuck, it's another UB Halloween." And it's just us like, there's not really anything to say. We're basically spending 20 minutes saying absolutely nothing about the movie.
All right, next year, prepare everyone. Next year, I'm going to prepare a 30-minute presentation on why UB Halloween is a cinematic masterpiece. And in the whole podcast will just be me presenting my doctoral thesis.
I want to provide an antithesis, and I want to find, I want us, if we're still going in a year, to hopefully have some sort of, it'll never happen, we'll never have clout, I wish we would, because that would be my biggest goal, would be to have some sort of celebrity have to judge between you and I's theses about whether or not UB Halloween is a masterpiece or just a giant turd Netflix made.
I will prepare my PowerPoint presentation, and I will come prepared. I will
doing fucking research. My argument is going to be, I watched the movie, God. And it's bad.
I'm going to be like, as you can tell within the mise-en-scene, Adam Sandler and, what's the guy's name? Steve Brill.
Now, if you look here,
Steven. In the 59th minute of the film, Violet Valentine reaches for this bowl of soup, and that's to signify the childhood hardships that Hubie Halloween or Hubie Dubois had to go through.
God damn it. I'm looking forward to it, but at the same time, it means I have to look forward to watching this movie again. I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if my heart's in it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. All right. Let's.
Well, I wanted to bring up.
Let's talk about where we were at and the growth. We've experienced growth. If there's been one thing this podcast has been good for, it's human growth. It's personal growth. Maybe. On the thoughts of Hubie Halloween.
Maybe Hubie Halloween is just actually, what's the word I'm looking for? Not necessarily an aphrodisiac, but, you know. It.
I don't know where you're going with this. I'm trying to track it, my man.
Gets the juices flowing, you know, because since watching Hubie Halloween twice now, there has been two children created.
Oh, that's
on this podcast.
That's what you're thinking. That's what it is.
Yeah, if you're looking to
start a family,
you're trying to
turn your attention to Netflix in the comedy stylings of Adam Sandler.
Yeah, if Happy Madison and Hubie Halloween is good at one thing, it's creating families. Oh. 10 out of 10. No,
oh, dear God.
I just remember, you remember the old commercials that would come on television, like when we were kids, and it would be like slow jams or whatever, and it'd just be like old classic R&B songs. It'd be like baby making music, you know? Like that's it's like just an infomercial, and it's like Hubie Halloween and like Happy Gilmore, just Happy Madison movies, like trailers in the background.
Oh, it's got to be the next thing that comes out, right? Just a clip of Adam Sandler movies with no sound, but like just really intense saxophone music over the top of it. Barf's riding his bike after eating the eggs. Just this sensual saxophone music. Oh, dear God.
All right, Ben. So before we close out, I wanted to go over where we started and where we're at now with our Hubie Halloween. So first time watching Hubie Halloween, it made it into our 2021 bottom movies list, and is in fact the first viewing on the worst movies of all seasons at a 2.88 collective. Ben, you gave it a 2 out of 10. Cam gave it a 3.5. I gave it a 3, and Zach gave it a 3.
Cameron was so you were the really lowest, the right? Highest?
Yeah.
Holy Christ. I'm surprised Zach was not the highest.
Yeah, I think Cam went before, and then Zach at the like went last, and we were like, all right, give us the 10 out of 10, and he was like, yeah, no, like it's pretty bad.
It's a 3, and Cameron's just like, no.
No, now I'm the one who loves Hubie Halloween.
I look like the guy who loves the Sandler verse.
And then, as Hubie Halloween has caused us to lose members, Cameron was not there the second year. Ben, you gave it a 4, so you're still the lowest. I gave it a 5. Zach gave it a 6. So we Zach doubled his, you doubled yours, and I bumped mine up 2 points. So, you know, we did watch it together that time, so it was more enjoyable, I think, a little more bearable, because the first year we watched it separately and then came together to record. So, Ben, what did you think the Hubie Hollow Threen viewing?
You know, it's not good. It's not. The movie's bad. Do I still think it's too bad? No. Since that first time doing Halloween, I think we've done since then 2 Aprils, right?
Yes. Oh God, yes.
I've seen some dog shit movies now. it gives you a little bit more of a barometer when you have to watch Shrek Retold.
Shrimp Retold?
Or whatever the weird religious...
Oh, God, 2025?
Movie. Yeah, yeah, after watching that, the abomination that was that movie, you start to realize that maybe your grading scale, what you thought was a 0, is no longer a 0.
I don't know. Do we need to bring back Food Fight? Because, I feel like that one's still rough.
Okay, I think Food Fight was still better than the 2025.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you're the group that's been painting all the Jesus fish? Yeah.
Can I join
Great
you?
Great dialogue. Thank
you. Okay.
Well, yeah. One, how did you find us based off our blank Jesus fish?
Yeah, so I think, I don't know if it's as much that I think Hubie Halloween's gotten better, or my idea of what's bad is just gone further down. Like, the idea of how bad it can get is really sunk, so maybe it's not as bad as I thought. I don't know. I'm torn. A part of me is thinking just to leave it at a 4.
The other part of you saying?
To drop it to a 3.
But you know what? I was expecting you to be like, to bump it to a 7?
No. No. I don't enjoy it that much. I think I'm becoming more numb to it. Here's the... Here's the thing I will say. And this... I brought this up to you. So after your wedding, congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
So a couple people were staying at an Airbnb. We were invited to go back, have a couple drinks, hang out. By the time we got there, there were maybe 4 people who were still awake that were staying at the Airbnb. And I don't know who it was. I can't remember if it was Jared or Forrest that had said they hadn't seen it. And so then it was just like, well, now we have to turn it on. So I remember watching
have
it.
To, of course.
And seeing somebody watch it for the first time, I think, was so much more enjoyable than actually watching the movie. Seeing someone just see the outlandish things, but you do realize when a joke hits that you're like, yeah, okay, it's not just me. Like, this actually is a funny part of the movie. But when the joke...
You're not crazy.
Yeah, but when the joke doesn't hit, you're also just like, you find it funny because you know the joke doesn't hit, and now you have to watch someone else suffer through it. But I... Like I said, there's parts of this movie that are... It has the makings of something that could be good. It's just that I feel like they did too much. They needed less sauce. Do I think this movie's an average movie? No. So immediately it has to go under 5. Do I think it's a 0? No. It's nowhere near the 0 movies that we've watched. So automatically it's got to be at that 3 range. I just think, and I think it's the difference between watching it with people or watching it by yourself. I think if you're watching this movie by yourself, it's like a 3. maybe lower. Watching it with people where, like, you can kind of sit and chuckle and kind of point out the absurdity and have someone there other than yourself to just be like, you know, for example, there's times where something dumb happens and you're just like, why the fuck am I watching this? But there's a reason. You're watching it with your friend for a podcast. When you're watching it by yourself, your thought is, why am I watching this? And then you're still watching it going, seriously, why don't I just turn this off and walk away? But I do think it has enough funny bits to keep it afloat. So I think I'm going to leave it. I think I'm going to let it stay put at a four.
Like we said, it's becoming a Stockholm Syndrome-esque movie for us. It's slowly growing on me every year that we watch this this turd. I'm going to stay at the five. As much as it hurts me, as much as I want to drop it down, I think this movie is... It's fun. It's funny at parts. And I think one of my biggest detractors is the fucking Adam Sandler voice. But, like, even that, I'm like, well, I know, like, all the fucking quotes by now, I feel like, at this point. So it's going to become, like, Harry Potter level to me where I can just quote the whole movie when something happens. By the end of this whole thing, I don't know why it's become a Halloween tradition for us, but yeah, I don't know. Throw it on a Halloween party, and you know, you can razz on it a little bit if you want to. You can laugh at the jokes that it hit. Yeah, I don't know. It's still not great. It's still kind of a turd. But some of the cameos and some of the bits still crack me up, I will say. The whole shack scene and the DJ booth is just so funny with his, like, wife.
Yeah,
it's so ridiculous. Yeah, 5 out of 10 is a perfect rating, I think, for this thing. And I think that's what it is on IMDb, if I remember correctly. What did I say? A 5.2. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate and subscribe. Check us out on Instagram at Cocktails and Classics Pod. We'll be back with some normal movies, but please come back next year for the Hubie Halloween 4 doctoral thesis on why it is a cinematic masterpiece and Ben's antithesis on why it is a massive turd.
You best believe there's going to be a Hubie 4. We're committed. What podcast will watch Hubie Halloween 3 times? No one. So you better believe we're committed to a fourth.
Is it? You think there's a world record somewhere in there?
I mean,
like, most times watching Hubie Halloween.
I feel like you'd have to specify for a podcast, because, like.
Oh, okay.
Because Zach's watched this movie without doing a podcast about it so many times.
You think he's over 10 at this point?
I don't know, because I haven't talked to him to find out how many times he's watched it so far this year.
Share us with your friends and family. Leave a review wherever you listen. And a like. Don't forget to subscribe. And as always, watch responsibly.